Good morning to each of you as we come in this second Sunday of July. Let us be called into worship. Our call to worship is found in Psalms 119. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Accept my offerings of praise, O Lord, and teach me your ordinances. Your decrees are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart. I incline my heart to perform your statutes forever, even unto the end. Let us worship God. Our opening hymn, I greet thee, who my sure Redeemer art. Our scripture lesson for the morning, Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 9, and verses 18 through 23, which will be brought to us by Elder Elijah Page of United Presbyterian Church.
Good morning, all.
Good morning.
This morning, I will be reading scripture from the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew 13, verses 1 through 9 and 18 through 23. And I will be reading from the Contemporary English Version. So bear with me. Here beginneth the word. That same day, Jesus left the house and went out beside Lake Galilee, where he sat down to teach. Such large crowds gathered around him that he had to sit in a boat while the people stood on the shore. Then he taught them many things by using parables. He said, a farmer went out to scatter seeds in a field. And while the farmer was scattering the seeds, some of it fell along the road and was eaten by birds. Other seeds fell on thin, rocky ground and quickly started growing because the soil was not deep. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and dried up because they did not have enough root. Some other seeds fell where there were thorn bushes, grew up and choked the plants. But a few did fall on good ground, where the plants produced 100, or 60, or 30 times as much as was scattered. If you have ears, pay attention. Now listen to the meaning of the story about the farmer. The seeds that fell along the road are the people who bear the message about the kingdom, but don't understand it. Then the evil one comes and snatches the message from their hearts. The seeds that fell on rocky ground are the people who gladly hear the message and accept it right away. But they don't have deep roots, and they don't last very long. As soon as life gets hard or the message gets them in trouble, they give up. The seeds that fell among the thorn bushes are also people who hear the message, but they start worrying about the needs of the life and are fooled by the desire to get rich. So the message gets choked out, and they never heed it. The seeds that fell on good ground are the people who hear and understand the message. They produce as much as 100, or 60, or 30 times what is planned. Those are the words of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Elder Page. A Sunday school teacher had been teaching about how God created Adam from the dust of the earth. A little boy in the class, who happened to be the pastor's son, said with alarm, "You mean I'm made out of dust?" His teacher responded, "Well, in a sense, yes." He thought for a moment, processing this information through the four-year-old brain, then stated wide-eyed, "My mom is not going to be happy about that." Today, I am telling a dirt story, as opposed to a dirty story, which certainly would not be appropriate from the pulpit. A dirt story. None of us like to be reminded that we are made out of dirt. And yet, you could construe our lesson for today to be telling us that we are just that, dirt. But before you get offended, give me the opportunity to explain. Jesus was a keen observer of the world around him. His observations resulted in many of the parables that he told. That is certainly true in today's parable. It's a simple parable, yet it appears in all three synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And this suggests that it is something to which we ought to pay attention. So here is his lesson to us. A farmer went out to sow. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. The birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places. It sprang up quickly, but they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still, other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. Imagine a farmer in those days planting seed. He wouldn't have had the sophisticated technology like some farmers have today. Did you know that John Deere now offers an air-conditioned tractor equipped with GPS guidance system? Boy, wouldn't farmers in Jesus' day have gone wild for that? Have you read that this year self-driving tractors are supposed to hit the market? None of these, of course, were available when Jesus walked the earth. Sowing seed was done by hand. Imagine, if you will, Johnny Appleseed. Yes, there really was a Johnny Appleseed. Johnny Appleseed walking around with a sack of appleseed slung over his shoulder, flinging the seed wildly by hand. By the way, we're told that Johnny Appleseed didn't just spread appleseed. He had a passion for planting another type of seed beyond apple trees. We're told he also had a passion for spreading the seed of the word. Every once in a while, he would take a break from sowing apple seeds, and he would sit under the shade of one of his trees and invite passersby to join him while he read passages from the Bible and other books. But imagine how inefficient this farmer that Jesus told about must have been in his manner of sowing seed. The seed was going everywhere. Some of the seed was landing on hardened path where it could not possibly grow, and some of the seed was falling on a patch of rocky soil. Some of it fell into weeds and thorns where the emerging plants would choke it out. And only a relatively small number of seeds fell on good soil. This farmer was so slipshod in his work that we can only conclude that this parable isn't about farming at all. It really is about God. And the seed which was sown is his grace and God's word. So even though a small number of seeds fell on good soil, there were still unlimited possibilities. It's like Mother Teresa once said. Remember, she was a tiny woman who began with the most meager of resources. Mother Teresa told her superiors, "I have 3 pennies and a dream from God to build an orphanage." Mother Teresa, her superior said, "You can't build an orphanage with 3 pennies. With 3 pennies, you can't do anything." "I know," she said, smiling, "but with God and 3 pennies, I can do anything." Mother Teresa understood the principles of the seed. It takes very little, but very little blessed by God, and miracles can occur. This is, of course, similar to the teaching that Jesus gave in Matthew 17, where, remember, he talked about the faith, having the faith of the size of a mustard seed, and it can produce an enormous bush. A little becomes a lot when you place it, what, in the master's hand. You see, this parable is a reminder that God is not so much efficient with his grace as he is generous. He scatters it all over the place. And the soil on which the seed is sown, that's us. In fact, it's everyone in the world. So in a sense, we are all dirt. But not all dirt is the same. God's grace is available to everyone, but not everyone responds in the same way to God's gracious action. And because God gives us the freedom to decide or our own destiny, and because God will not force himself into our lives, God's grace works differently in different people's lives. That's what this parable is about. It's interesting that this is one of the very few parables that Jesus bothers to explain again. And also that this parable, as I said before, is repeated in each of the synoptic gospels. Again, that signifies that this is an important teaching in this parable. It's something that we need to listen to and look at. Jesus, therefore, is describing four kinds of people. Four kinds of conditions, four kinds of states of heart. First of all, there's the unbeliever, the agnostic, or even the atheist. It's the one with a hardened heart. Listen then, said Jesus, to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. Imagine for just a moment a path through a field or a forest. Perhaps hundreds or even thousands of people have walked on that path over a period of time. The path becomes hardened and bare of vegetation. That's what makes it a path. Soon the soil is beaten down. In the dry season, it becomes as hard as a rock. In the rainy season, more water washes off of that path than is absorbed into it. Hungry birds come along and they gulp down any seeds that don't get washed away by the rain. Any seed that falls on the path has little chance of taking root. Jesus said, the seed that falls on the path is like people who hear the gospel but do not understand. I believe he means more than that. Do not understand it is one thing. I believe he also means that they don't accept it, that they don't take it into their hearts, for their hearts are hardened against the word. They hear the gospel, but they do not make it their own. I was reading recently about the so-called psychic services industry. It's a booming business nowadays. There are so-called psychics everywhere, according to this report. I think I mentioned one time the psychic reading commercial that comes on about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. Don't ask why I'm up at that time. But anyway, there's one commercial that comes on and it drives me nuts because grammatically, they're all over the place. Everyone that speaks uses poor grammar. It's from California. But psychic services are booming. And when they did a search or a research of this subject, they found that many of the persons who followed the psychic services were like technologically trained people, like they were the CEOs, they were folks up in business and what have you. Now, this service, the psychic service, produces about $10 billion, with a B, dollars annually in this country. And again, according to this report, atheists and agnostics are the core consumers of psychic readings. According to Fortune magazine, many of these are top executives, again, And that proves the validity of the observation that when people quit believing in God, they don't believe in nothing. Instead, they will believe in anything. That's the seed that falls along the path. The hardcore non-believers. And again, they are growing a growing group in today's society. Then Jesus moves to another group. Let's call this group the morning glory group. This is the seed that falls on rocky ground. They have what can be called a defeated heart. The seed falling on rocky ground, says Jesus, refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy, but since they have no root, it only lasts a short time. To me, that reminds me like an open can of soda in the refrigerator. You know, if you leave a can of soda, Pepsi or Coke, in the refrigerator for 2 or 3 days and it's open, it soon will lose its fizzle. It goes flat. These are the morning glory people. They get defeated. When trouble or persecution comes, they have no strength to combat the challenge. And so they quickly fall away. Rocky soil is not quite as treacherous for planted seeds as the hardened path. Plants might initially grow in rocky soil, but the future is dim because the soil is so rocky that the seed doesn't get the nutrition it needs. Without the proper nutrition, nothing grows like it ought to grow. I'm calling these who get defeated by their troubles and lose sight of the work of the word, the morning glory group. And I use the term morning glory because of something I read about a professional baseball player, or baseball players rather. In professional baseball, coaches talk about the morning glory syndrome. Morning glories are called morning glories because they unfold into a full bloom in the early morning, then they start to fade. So this name, morning glory, is given to young recruits in professional baseball who perform marvelously the first time out in spring practice in Florida or in Arizona. But then, as they travel and experience the lengthy baseball season, they begin to wilt like a morning glory flower. They fizzle out like that open can of soda. By June, their batting average drops to an unacceptable level. And by July, they are released from the team. They come in blazing, but then they just fade by the wayside. Seed that falls on rocky soil is like that. It may take root initially, but because it doesn't get the nutrition it needs, it eventually wilts and dies. Morning glory is a name that could be applied to many Christians. Christian believers who make an initial commitment to Christ, but then get discouraged and defeated maybe once, maybe twice, maybe more. And eventually they fall away. A few will be sincere, but when they get out in the world, they lose their focus, they waver, they wither. Unfortunately, they miss out on experiencing the joy, the new meaning, and the purpose that only Christ can give. The rocky soil is scarcely better than the barren path. Remember, the barren path is the non-believer, the heart of heart. The morning glories are those who have a shallow level of faith, who get defeated and lose sight on the way. But then there's a third group. Let's call this group the distracted. The third group, says Jesus, consists of the seed that falls among the thorns. Here he's referring to someone who hears the word, but the many cares of his life and the lure of wealth, prestige, power, tend to stroke and choke and strangle and overpower the word, making it unfruitful. Now, it's inevitable that no matter how careful the sower is, some of the seeds will fall into an area infested with weeds and thorns. These pests often grow much faster than the good seed. Just check your front lawn. And because weeds and thorns grow so fast and they grow strong, they tend to choke the life out of the good seed. I call these distractions, because that's what worldly worries and concerns do to us. They distract us. They keep us from focusing on Christ and his will for our lives. We talk nowadays about distracted driving, but what about distracted living, where we focus on nearly everything except Christ and his will for our lives? We're told that General George Washington faced immense hurdles when trying to build an army to face the powerful British forces. One of the most perplexing challenges that he faced was maintaining his troops' strength. His biggest foe, you see, was distraction. You see, most of Washington's soldiers were farmers. When times for planting and harvest rolled around, these fighters, their hearts and their minds turned homeward. They wondered who would sow the seed and gather the crops that enabled their families to survive. In such seasons, Washington and his generals faced a huge drain on the army's strength, as troops whose attentions were pulled from the battlefield to the harvest field laid down their weapons and walked home. That's the seed that is sown where there are weeds and thorns and distractions. Three groups: unbelievers, the hard of heart, the morning glories, those who are defeated, those who are distracted, is the third group. Jesus knew that many of those who listened to his teachings would fall away, or at least would give only minimal service to his kingdom. Remember the Pareto principle? It says that in every group, 20% will do 80% of the work. That's certainly true for the church. So fortunately, there is one more group that Jesus describes. This is the seed that falls on good soil. Let's call this soil the company of the committed. Jesus says the good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one, he says, who produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. The one who exhibits the hopeful and joyful heart. The company of committed refers to people that Christ can count on. And notice what Jesus says about these folks. They produce a crop yielding 100, 60, and 30 times what was sown. I believe that Jesus is saying to us that when we give Christ our best service, our work is magnified more than we ever dreamed possible. Let me say that again. Our work can become magnified more than we ever think is possible. Our influence on our family, our community, even our world is greater than we can ever possibly see. There's an inspiring book titled Second Calling by Dale Bork. Bork writes that years ago, she attended a publishing conference. A friend named Bruce offered her a ride to the airport. As they were about to leave, the doorman from the hotel stopped them and said that the hotel's bus had broken down. Would they mind taking another passenger to the airport? They agreed. And the man who would be riding with them gratefully jumped into the back seat. Bruce asked the man where he worked. The man mentioned a Christian publishing house affiliated with a campus organization. Bruce perked up at this. He said, "I have really fond memories of that group that you've mentioned because I attended a weekend retreat one time sponsored by that organization. And that's where I became a Christian. It was in 1972 in New Hampshire." Bruce went on to explain that he had not only become a Christian that weekend, But a year later, when he gave his testimony, his entire family came to Christ. His sister eventually became a Wycliffe missionary and translated scripture for a group in Africa. His parents turned their publishing interest to Christian books and published some of the biggest Christian books of the next few decades. Bruce says that he had become the owner of a major Christian publishing house and bought many significant Christian books and brought them to the public. It was obvious that the impact of that one retreat had reverberated throughout the world and throughout, based upon what had happened to Bruce and his family. Their passenger, the man who was with the organization that sponsored that retreat, he grew strangely silent. Then he said quietly, "I led that retreat. It was my first time as a conference leader, and I felt like a total failure. Until this moment, I have always believed it was one of the biggest failures of my life." By the time we reached the airport, says Dale Burke, we were all in tears. See, you never know. You never know. The seed you sow, it may be a small amount, but that small amount of seed may resonate with one who is or will become a member of the company of the committee. And you never know the yield that that hopeful and joyful heart will produce. Jesus says the good soul refers to someone who hears the word and understands. This is the one, he says, who produces a crop yielding 160 and 30-fold. The message for today: if you allow the Lord of the harvest to sow a small seed in you, that seed can be multiplied through the people that you touch, and you never know how it will grow. Who knows where it will end? Where are you today in today's parable? I doubt that any of us will see ourselves as the hardened path, the non-believer. We wouldn't be gathered in worship, even though it's virtual, if we were the hard-hearted. A few of us, however, may be among the morning glory group. At one time, we were excited about our faith, but as the years have passed, we have faded in and out in our religious fervor. Deep in our heart, we miss it. The feeling that we are part of something bigger than ourselves, but in our heart we know that we have fallen by the wayside. I suspect that many more of us are among the distracted. We're all so busy today. Who has time for God? And yet, living in a prosperous and supposedly secure society, many of us are desperately lonely and uncertain about life and guilt-ridden and afraid. Something's missing in our life and deep within our hearts. So again, the question is, where are you in today's parable? What soil does your spirit represent? How do you nourish yourself and ensure that your spirit is secure and at peace and in right relationship with the Creator? In today's age, your answer might focus on a physical or emotional wellness. After all, we're told to exercise each day, eat a good diet, do yoga, meditate, accumulate sufficient wealth, attain job security, foster good relations with other people, and reject those toxic people. Take a bubble bath, buy yourself something nice, take a trip, do something on your bucket list. All of these things are recommendations that we are given in today's age. to tell us how to achieve physical and emotional wellness. I'm sure you've heard these solutions and probably many more. Solutions that are guaranteed to lift you up or maybe to make you feel better, but these are limited fixes. Limited fixes. While they all may help gain specific goals and can contribute to our happiness, they don't get to the bottom of creating a joyful and hopeful heart. To really receive an enriched life, we must respond in certain ways. That is what Jesus is explaining to us. We must be in a living relationship with God through Jesus Christ. So I invite you to pray that Christ will help each of us be the good soil where the harvest is increased 30, 50, 60, and even 100-fold. Pray that our life, your life, and my life might have purpose and peace, and that the world will be enriched because we have encountered Christ and he is doing a good work through us. Amen. Let us take time now to share our concerns from Patterson Presbyterian Church. Elder Moody Stevens will be sharing concerns of United Presbyterian Church.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Let us remember to keep in prayer all members of the United Presbyterian Church, especially our sick and shut-in. We pray for their spiritual and mental strength. We also pray for those affected by this terrible pandemic. And we continue to pray for each and every one that joins this service every week.
Thank you, Elder Stevens.
Additionally, we'd like to lift up in prayer Kellyanne Phillips and her family as they mourn the loss of her beloved grandfather, Milton Liu. He transitioned to his heavenly home on this past Thursday, July 9th, 2020. Pray for Kellyanne as she will be traveling on Wednesday for his homegoing service. And we have joys. This week, we will begin our safe space camp, and we will have 30 campers. We ask for prayer for the staff and the campers and all the volunteers. We pray that they will have a safe and enjoyable experience, for the children have been on lockdown for months now. So we are praying for their enjoyment and their safety. We're asking that UPC members look out for a letter during this week, asking them for their feedback regarding the reopening of our church. And lastly, Reverend Tate, we are so grateful and blessed for the opportunity to worship with you and all of the churches joining this weekly service in this virtual platform. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. And certainly we do wish the children of the Safe Space Camp all the best. The children have been affected in different kinds of ways through this pandemic. And we may not see what's going on with the children mentally, but this will have a lasting effect on them. But we hope that positive things will come for our children as well. Elder Harris, Fiona Harris.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Just wishing everyone a happy Sunday, but there's no joys or concerns from my group.
No. All right. Thank you. Elder England.
Good morning, everyone. God bless.
Good morning.
We would like to include a special prayer for Helen Woods. She's 96 years old, and she is not doing well. Helen resides in Florida and is the mother of a friend of Betty Easley Bailey. Also, I want to take this opportunity to remind everyone that we have our PCT online auction starting on Wednesday, July 15th. at 7 a.m. and it goes through July 19th at 11 o'clock p.m. You should have received notification on how to join, creating a bidder account for free. You can see these online auction items, some donated from our PCT congregation and some that were displayed by Dixon. All of the proceeds supports our mission at the Presbyterian Church of Tina. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. And we ask that people would check their emails today, since I think a notification went out in the wee hours of the morning. We're not going to say who sent it at the wee hours of the morning. Elder Chang Soon.
Yes, good morning to my church family.
Good morning.
There's no concerns, but there's one joy that I would like to share. I spoke with Mrs. Bean's family this morning, and they said that she is doing well, and she will be returning home sometime later today. So Amen. That's good news.
Amen. Amen. Mrs. Bean, Mrs. Lively Bean, is at the Teaneck care facility, and she was in the hospital. She went to the facility. Mrs. Bean is 99 years old and going on 30. Elder Fredericks.
Good morning, church. Can you hear me? All right, good. I have one concern. I did not have a chance to communicate with Kip Cheney this morning, but his father, Dr. Cheney, has had surgery, has been very tenuous situation. He's still hospitalized and in critical condition. So I ask you to please lift him up, and I'll get more information as soon as I can. Thank you.
Great, thank you. We had heard that he had came through the surgery well, but we see that there has been a turn in his condition. So Dr. Arthur Cheney, we would add to our prayer list. Elder Miller.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's already been included in the email that was sent out. Dr. Aria Chow's family friend, longtime family friend, Dr. Douglas Davids, had a fall, and he was hospitalized as a result. And also, he was found positive with COVID-19, so we lift him up in prayer. There's a common thread when I was talking to everybody, just very thankful for, you know, the Lord's blessings on their lives, you know, not understanding that what's happening in the world and everything, but just the fact that you know, God is blessing us. And it was, said to me in different ways, and I may not be conveying it properly, but I just wanted to share that. Also, Dan Cunningham, which is the nephew of Mary Coleman, was in the hospital now for almost 3 weeks. Initially, he was in the hospital because of a foot problem, but they found that he had had a stroke as well. And so he's now stable, but he's still in the hospital, so we continue to lift him up. And one more Thanksgiving, and that's our own Adam Rodriguez. If you recall, he was a prominent choir member who relocated to help his mom out. We would say happy birthday to him.
Amen. Elder Adapo, thank you, Elder Miller.
Good morning, church family.
Good morning.
I have one concern. Actually, a prayer request for my daughter, Janet Ashley, who's feeling a little under the weather this morning. Thank you.
Okay. Yes, we would add Janet Ashley Adapo to our prayer list. And we also include Janet Ashley in our continued prayers for healthcare workers. Found out last week that Janet Ashley is also working in the medical area. We would add to our prayer list as well our church secretary, Charlotte DeLauter, who had hand surgery about 4 days ago, and so she's trying to see how she can balance recovery with continued work in the office. But we keep Charlotte DeLauder in our prayer. And so if you call the office and no one answers, besides, you know, she was on part-time anyway, short hours, but because of her surgery, she may not be in the office during those regular times that she was there. So again, we continue to, we lift up in prayer all those who have been named, those who are unnamed. We lift up in prayer those who are continuing to deal with this issue in terms of the health emergency that we are under. And we lift up in prayer all those who are struggling, either because of loss of jobs, uncertainty of what tomorrow will bring. Let us then, together as a family, offer our prayers. O God, our refuge and strength, as you deliver your people from the oppressor, you accompany them on their journeys. You give them bread to sustain them and the fruit of the vine to make their hearts glad. You cause the earth to nourish the seeds, the wheat, and the corn to flower and yield grain in abundance. The comb fills with honey from nectar you have hidden in the blossoms. The pine bears its cones to feed your friends in the forest. You are God of all living things. You design the creation with an eye for beauty. So this morning, O Lord, we recognize that we partake of your splendor. We give thanks for your grandeur. We give thanks for the work of your hands, O Lord. Grant us humility as we offer our prayer. We are just travelers in our quest to be faithful. Help us to be more receptive to the seeds of your love. Help us not to be so apathetic, O Lord, that we do not recognize love when it is given, nor the need for love to be expressed. As your word is delivered, there are those who distort your word and purge it of meaning. They render your word powerless because they do not follow it. Give us the insight, O Lord, to discern your message and the courage to confess trust in your truth. At times, our hearts are hardened by the trials that confront us. At times, Lord, we lose sight of what you've called us to be. At times, Lord, our ears are plugged and we can't hear your message to us. Tribulation tempts us to turn away from you sometimes. We build idols and monuments to support our security. They are void of your wisdom, and they don't weather the storm. So, Lord, give us the hindsight to learn from past mistakes, from past deeds, and give us the foresight to depend on your word. At times, Lord, we confess we choke on consumption of society's goods. We take a fancy to gadgets and entrust our well-being to those gadgets. Surrounded by such objects, we still yearn for stability. So, Lord, temper our desires with your compassion and help us to surrender ourselves to your protective care. Help us to so surrender our lives to you, Lord, that not only do we physically surrender, but mentally surrender and have faith and trust and hope and know that you will heal where there is need for healing, O Lord. that you will speak to the crisis that is in our particular lives, the challenge that we face. Lord, open our ears to hear your word and open our lives to hear, to understand and experience your presence. Help us to surrender ourselves to your will and your way, Lord, so much so that we are granted comfort in times of mourning and in times of grief. So much so that we are granted hope in times of despair. Help us to temper ourselves to your will and your way, so much so, Lord, that we experience hope when others are crying despair. Hear the prayers that have been lifted unto you. May our understanding and obedience be in accordance with what you desire, so that it, in our quest to be faithful, we may yield fruit that is pleasing in your sight. Hear us then as we pray, Lord, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing hymn, God be with you till we meet again.
God be with you till we meet again.
Love the counsels guide of old. Verses 1, 3, and 5. With the shepherd's care and fold. God be with you till we meet again. Verse 3. God be with you till we meet again.
Unseen strength hide you. Daily on us provide you. God be with you till we meet again. God be with you till we meet again. When life's perils think not far you, build unfailing arms around you. God be with you till we meet again.
To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you without blemish before the presence of his glory with rejoicing. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all times and now and forever. Let the people of God say, Amen.
Amen.
This ends our worship service with music by Bennett and Tate. We invite you to unmute yourselves and share a word of fellowship or a word of greeting to those who are online. Go in peace.
Hello.
Greetings, Sister Betty Easley. Were you able to get online today?
Yes, I am.
Okay, all right.
I am, and God bless you. Thank you.
Okay, yeah. For those of, I did have some computer, whatever. We're trying to get our contact list straightened out, so hopefully everyone. Well, if you're on, then you got the message. But in case there are times when something doesn't come through, when you don't get the bulletin or the outline of service by Saturday morning, then contact another member who may have gotten it and then have them to forward it to you. You can contact me, but sometimes I may or may not see your email until too late.
Okay, got it.
All right.
Good morning.
Who else is online? Good morning. The Gillespies, Ms. Gillespie and Mr. Smith. Morning.
Good morning.
It's wonderful worshiping with our church family each Sunday.
And we are keeping you lifted in prayer as things are getting a little crazy there in the Atlanta area.
Yes.
So,
thank you.
You heard the news about Holy Name? Had no cases.
Oh,
no COVID cases.
Okay, that's the good news we're sharing from TNEC. We had first day of no new COVID cases at Holy Name Hospital.
Wow, that's great. Thank God.
After they had gotten to capacity some time ago. So, yeah, we're keeping each other lifted up in prayer. And we don't know if Adam Rodriguez is with us, but Adam, we do wish you happy birthday and wish you well down there in Florida. Mr. Robinson, greetings. And so we wish you all, again, peace be with you. We wish you all well. And in about 2 minutes, we'll be ending this virtual call as I try to slide off the chair gracefully.
Have a blessed week, Pastor Heather, and everyone. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Same to you.
Bye. Bless everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye, everyone.
Okay.
So that was needed.
What's your additional speaker?
Yeah. Not
really. Okay.
I shall not be moved less like a tree that's planted by the waters. I shall not be moved.
Bye all.